Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Just a word of warning before you listen to this week's podcast. There is a rather... Is it an explicit story? I don't use any explicit words. I just...
It's one of the most explicit stories I've ever heard. And just so we had to put a warning in because it's just so shocking. It's just dropped in by Brendan when none of us expected it.
Or actually can't. I don't even know what else to say.
That and discounted ham coming up.
This is TV worth talking about.
My gut tells me we're dealing with sophisticated bombs.
This is Shrine Podcasts.
90 seconds, hurry!
Trigger Point.
This is Shrine Podcasts Trigger Point. I'm Hannah.
I'm Brendan.
And I'm Rebecca.
And episode 4 delivered, in my opinion, the best episode of the series so far. We finally saw Wash and Carl do something about their ever-growing tension. Meanwhile, poor Billy went boom and John Hudson is looking more suspicious than ever before. This week, the befitting Brendan will have your thoughts and theories while the radiant Rebecca is on the recap. But first, guys, let's have a little catch up, shall we?
Oh my goodness, the alliteration there, Hannah. Well done.
Billy went boom.
Poor Billy. Oh my
poor
God.
Poor Billy.
I agree with you. This episode is definitely the best yet. And it was very, very emotional as Bawn and Crying
Yeah, it was very emotional.
It was a strong one now, and I thought the set piece of Billy's explosion looked beautiful. I thought the shots and the colouring and everything looked really great. And then the Billy went boom. That just set me up for some alliteration this week. I was feeling it, you know.
I did see that somebody had messaged us this week to say that the director has changed. It's a director who's previously worked on Line of Duty that's done episodes 4, 5 and 6. So it's changed from whoever did 1, 2 and 3.
Okay.
Yeah. So that might have something to do with it.
Yeah, it does look stunning now. No shade to the original director, but like it looks fantastic.
It does. The story is also, it's all happening now finally, because the first, I feel like episode 2 just could have not happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Episode 2 was a bit flat.
Yeah.
Yeah. But 1, 3 and 4 have been great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have considered episode 2 actually worrying, but I think 4 now is quite strong. But I was, when I got to episode 2, I was worried.
You were worried.
Yeah, I was worried. I was worried for myself. I was worried for us. I was worried for everyone. But no, we're back on track now. Do you know what I mean? And I have my suspicions. I have my thoughts and theories. Tom, he was thrown out by Wash. Carl's the new guy on the scene. So yeah, I'm liking where things are going now for the last 2 episodes.
Any news from your week, Hannah?
Any news from my week? Oh, I put my AirPods in the wash. Now, guys, I just want to quickly tell you this story because it's a part of a string of like technological difficulties that I'm having in my life. That, like,
Jesus, aren't bad enough.
This is the thing, and it's like, honest to God, the biggest first world problems, but it's because there's been a string of them now, so I'm getting pretty pissed off. I was putting on a whitewash last week and I threw the AirPods in the washing basket to bring them downstairs.
Well, they are white. Downstairs.
You obviously put them through the wash. And I knew I did because I was like, where is that AirPod case? And the annoying thing was I had one in my ear and the other one was charging in the case. And I was like, I fucking know that's in the washing machine. And I went over to the washing machine and there it was, right, shoved up against the door. Long story short, right, there was a lot of drama involved. There was anger. There was like trying to stop the wash mid-wash. None of it works. But what I will tell you is that fucking AirPod charging case is working perfectly. The only difference to that, since I went through a full wash, is that it's slightly cleaner. The AirPod works perfectly when listening to things. Perfectly. The only thing I can't do is talk through it. So, like, I can listen crystal clear. I just can't use it to talk. But I have the other one. because the other one didn't go through the wash.
Oh yeah, you can set it in your phone in the settings. You can set the microphone to just be on the working one because you can choose whether you want the mic on the left or the right ear.
Brenton, are you joking?
No, I swear to God, yeah.
I always assumed they're in both.
No, somebody showed me this before. You can choose which side you want the mic to be on. So pick, go into like settings, Bluetooth, Hannah's AirPods, and then you can choose which side you want. That you can force it to be on one or the other.
I could cry because I was like, I'm going to have to buy new AirPods. I literally couldn't live without them now at this stage. But the thing is, like, they work perfectly. It's just when I take the left one out, it's still picking up the recording and skewing it until you put it back in the box. Brendan,
yeah, try that now and see if that works. It should do.
Oh my God.
If I go quiet now in a minute, that's what I'm doing. I'm fiddling with the
sound. Do you think that they introduce that because people have lost one or put it in the wash?
Yeah, probably.
They do get lost very easy.
Great. Oh, they're very small, guys. Yeah. And to be honest, like, I've had them for over a year, so I'm pretty impressed that, like, this hasn't happened sooner. Mm. I can take it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, my cat actually often steals one of them, or the case. He just likes to play with it. Yeah, Shaleem does. He just does be taking the AirPods, yeah.
He's into his music.
Yeah. Listening to
and Guy Vanson, you know, interesting what you at and that came up this week. Did you watch that and else scored apart from Trigger Point?
Oh, I watched the whole of Inventing Anna on Netflix. Did you
now
watch
I
that?
Saw it during the week. Is it worth it?
Like, it's told very much so from the perspective of the journalist who wrote the story, which is interesting. But for 9 episodes, I was a bit like, I'd love to know a bit more about how you wormed your way in, first of all. Do you know what I mean?
9 episodes is a lot as well.
I did really enjoy the story, though. I find the story fascinating, but I do think it could have been a bit more, I don't know where else they could have cut one or two episodes out, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit long for what it is, but yeah, definitely worth a watch. I think HBO may have bought rights to one of her friend's books who was involved in the scheme. While she wasn't involved in it, she got duped by her. So I would be interested to see a different take on the story as well.
I went to see Marry Me in the cinema. I haven't watched any series or anything this week, but I went on Valentine's Day with a friend of mine. There was a couple in the cinema who seemed to be enjoying the movie immensely. There was groaning at one stage, so I don't know, like, if they were like really impressed by J-Lo's hair. And then at the end of the movie, when the cinema lights came up, your man was putting his jeans back on, so I think he might have had like one too many nachos. Maybe he was like quite full and maybe had to open his fly or something. I'm not sure what was going on.
Brenda watching me putting his jeans back on, like, not pulling them up.
Well, like, he was closing them, so I don't know why.
I would have rang the guards. I'm not even joking. I would have rang the guards.
Yeah. So not sure what was going on there, but they seem to enjoy the movie.
Great film. It's so good. The soundtrack's absolutely lit.
Love a bit of J-Lo.
I'm actually dying to see it. I went to see Death on the Nile.
Oh, yeah.
It was a much more subdued screening. with me and some older people, but I actually really enjoyed it. Like, do you know what I mean? It's that he didn't do a new, but it was grand.
Yeah.
And I watched This Is Gonna Hurt, the new Adam Kay adaptation.
Yeah, I watched the first episode. Yeah.
I think that's the only one we have available over here. Don't get me started on the BBC iPlayer so far. So yeah, I'll be watching it one a week, but I am really enjoying it.
That's good. Yeah, I must watch it. I haven't read the book, so I don't know if I should read the book first and then watch it. I usually like to do that with things.
Yeah, the book is brilliant.
Yeah, it seems like different from the book, but Reb, I definitely read it. It's absolutely brilliant. There's actually 2 books now. We've done a Christmas special.
Yeah.
A little stock and filler one, yeah.
A little stock and filler. Dead right. Right, well, we get cracking on this recap.
Yes, so episode 4 opens in the middle of the countryside where the burnt out Prius getaway car from the LGBT pub / apartment attack has been found. Now, it's been blown to bits and there are no fingerprints to be found on it. And the area is also a CCTV black spot. And that's also the reason why the field is quite popular with joggers.
And yeah,
I just loved that in the first 2 seconds. I was like, lol.
Yeah, there were like any witnesses and they were like, no, none that want to come forward anyway.
So it looks like the second crusader used petrol and a death charge to blow up the car. And Lana then shows Tom a photo of the pattern of the wires that are used in all 3 bombs. And she's just like, listen, I think the same professional could be responsible for all 3 attacks. She also then shows him a picture of the A to Z of London map that she found in John's locker. And obviously it had the locations of the bombs circled. Tom's very pissed off here with her and he's like, why did you go through his locker? It can't be used as evidence, but you're right bringing it to me and I'll take care of it. And then she walks away and he stares her out of it.
Yeah, are they making it too obvious that Tom is...
Yeah, I think so. Lana then gets a call from a police officer who tells her that her brother Billy hasn't shown up for an interview at the station. Lana tries to call Billy, but he doesn't answer his phone or his front door.
I thought he was dead at this point.
Same, because she does keep trying to ring him throughout the whole episode.
Yeah.
Next, there is a briefing at Police HQ. A new gal that we actually had never met, I don't believe, called Moira Bloxham. She's head of operations for somewhere, but I actually couldn't really make out where. It just said head of operations. So,
well done her.
She's obviously important.
Yeah.
Anyway, she says that they've been looking through lists of ex-English flag folk who had extremist views, and they're trying to identify the Second Crusader. But she's like, hang on a second. The far right have actually changed tactics, and they actually think now that they're targeting people with no convictions or history with the far right. So they're targeting people who are disillusioned, unemployed, and can be easily groomed. Bregman then, in his stunning deep voice, thinks the Crusaders attacked the West Haven flats to justify the mosque attack, and that Andrew Phelan was chosen as the victim by Nick Roberts because Roberts believed that Andrew was from MI5 and was actually put in a cell with him in prison to get intel on the far right. So they're looking at other people who were hanging out with Roberts, and it also turns out that Roberts had advanced prostate cancer, and that could explain why he was prepared to act as a suicide bomber. Lana then says that she's almost certain that they're looking for the same bomber for all three attacks because of three distinctive elements. The chemical composition of the device HMX 319, or is it 319? I think it's 319. So that has been reported as classified at Porton Down. And for those who don't know what Porton Down is, because it's mentioned a lot, it's where the Ministry of Defence's Defence Science and Technology Lab is located.
Okay.
Because they just kept mentioning this. And yeah. I was like, what? Tom thinks that the explosive could have found its way onto the dark web. But Lana says that the use of secondaries and the signature in the wiring indicates that the bomber had high military training. Something that Bregman says significantly raises the threat. Now, there's a bit of a back and forth here between Marianne and Tom about when Tom found out about the wire situation.
Yeah.
Because it... Like, if Lana's saying this now, it needs to be taken seriously. And Tom just kind of keeps being like, we need to keep an open mind and everything, whereas Lana is very much set that this is one bomber and three attacks.
Uh-huh.
So later on, Lana arrives at Billy's house. It's very messy. She's with her parents. It's Billy's birthday. So they come in and they're like, happy birthday, Billy. But Billy's done a Houdini and his car is gone. Val, who is Lana's mum, sees a bloody towel on the ground, and Lana Hatchie has to tell her about the incident with the butchers. And she's also like, Billy's not going out with your one Becky anymore.
I was wondering why Lana kind of swiped it away so quickly, but that explains. I was like, oh, why is she trying to hide that? But yeah, that explains why.
I think she just had to tell them then, he's got into a bit of trouble. Afterwards, Lana texts Carl asking him about his plans for the evening, and she heads to the Halal Butchers to apologise on behalf of her brother, and she offers to fix the window. The butcher declines the offer, but during their conversation, he does reveal that he thinks that there was more than one person involved.
Yeah.
So he thinks he heard like two voices at 2 a.m. when the incident happened. So we need to figure out.
They were drunk and shouting down the street.
We need to figure out who Billy has been hanging around with. Lana then meets Carl for ice cream and they share a sundae. She opens up about how her parents are very worried about Billy, and she tells Carl about the butcher's window and how Billy has been charged with racially aggravated criminal damage. Carl's like, listen, Lana, I'm not making excuses for Billy, but I heard that Billy and John were on the Flaming Sambucas after Nut's funeral and that they left together.
Have you ever done Flaming Sambuca?
Yes.
Yeah. It was a thing for a while. Like, people would just be lighting Sambucas on fire.
Oh, Sambuca tastes like Bonjela that you put on your mouth ulcers. So I prefer an Ambasol.
I didn't mind the taste of Sambuca, but I don't think I'd thank you for
it's
one anymore.
It's very sticky.
Yeah, it is very
it's
sticky.
It's so sticky. I think that's why I don't
like it.
There's
no need to light it on fire. Like, it's completely, like, unnecessary.
Well, Billy
Sambuca
and
will
John.
Be my shot of choice now, guys, but I did not know you could light it on fire.
Have you never had
to drink fire?
No, I think you light it on fire and then you blow it out and then you down it. It's stupid.
I'm going out on Saturday now. I might try it.
Mind the L-net.
Yeah, be careful there. So at the weird prefab bomb expo staff area, what are we calling that?
Their base, isn't it? I don't know.
It's like a weird prefab, though. They're always having tea and like doing crosswords together and stuff. And I'm like, where
is
this?
With like the oldest sofa you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Get to DFS.
Well, anyway, Lana pulls John aside and asks him about Billy. John's very confused, and he does imply that him and Billy aren't friends at all and they haven't been hanging out. Lana then sees John leave with the A to Z of London map in his bag, and she decides to follow him. And then she sees John eyeing up a Jewish centre.
It's a bit obvious. Like, it's so obvious. Like,
it's just a bit wild. I don't know why I just found it very weird. I was
John,
like, oh, God.
Needs to take, like, I would say 5 days annual leave and just fucking relax and stop being so suspicious and work.
But meanwhile, this is what made me laugh even more. So Lana's watching John outside the Jewish centre, and then Tom shows up.
Yeah, because he's, like, watching Lana.
Yeah. And anyway, he's like, listen, what the hell are you doing? Because John's already under surveillance, and he's like, leave the job to us or whatever. Back at the prefab staff area, Lana chats to another officer, and it turns out that John never turned up on the day of the Five Oaks pub attack because he actually went home with a tummy bug right before the call came in. Very suspicious.
Lana, just a hammer at home there in case you haven't picked up on this 75 other clues, including the circled map of everywhere a bomb has gone off from the last episode.
You know, it's a bit now, isn't it?
Maybe John was on the Vietnamese weasel coffees if his stomach was a bit dodge.
I mean, that's a likely story. Lana later tells Tom about the stomach bug situation, and Tom implies that if they did actually have anything serious on John, he wouldn't be on duty. Yeah. And then Tom's like, I actually shouldn't be telling you any of this because there's a new DCI job coming up and I need to do things by the book.
He just has eyes on that promotion. That's it.
Yeah. Shit then hits the fan between Lana and John because she confronts him about the butcher's window and accuses him of grooming Billy. John chuckles and she then pushes him to the ground. Danny separates them. John says that he won't file a formal complaint because the pressure has just got to Lana after Nut's death. Lana then tells him to fuck off. Marianne is there and she's like, you need to take some personal leave. Lana is so angry and she's like, there's a psycho out there killing people. I'm not going to sit at home twiddling my thumbs. But Marianne says that her decision is final, to which Lana, in true Kate Fleming style, replies, well, with respect, Mom, it's bollocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are doing a few mates here and there,
aren't
they?
There's a lot of mates scattered throughout, yeah.
The writer's defo a fan of Line of Duty. At home, Lana FaceTimes Sonia about HMX 319. Sonia says that the traces seem to be about 10 years old, so she's going to try and find out what military operations used them within the 10-year period, yeah. And then maybe try and see who was involved, yada yada. That night, Lana meets Carl at the pub for a game of pool, some fizzy drinks and some crisps, which I thought was lovely when you open up the crisp packet like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, when you open it up flat and everyone can just have one.
You have one or two each.
Mm. Has to be flat. If you're in a pub, you have to open a crisp packet, two yeah. sides, and then lie flat. You just have to.
You do. It's all going bomb chicka wah wah. There's finally a kiss. But then Lana gets a call from a private number. She has to step outside to take it because it's like, it's really bad signal. It's actually Commander Bregman. And he has some bad news. They think her brother Billy is involved with the Crusaders because he's on the CCTV hanging out with Nick Roberts. It could be low level, but they need Lana to call him and get him in for questioning because another attack could be imminent. Lana,
like,
is,
what a coincidence.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it
like,
is.
Lana's brother is a crusader, and that's what the whole show is about. And Lana is a bomb disposal. Like, I mean, Jesus Christ, could yeah. we not have put one person in between? Because, like, do you know what I mean? Could it not have been like the brother's partner or something?
Could you yeah. imagine just, you know, if you were her, how embarrassed you would be and how angry you'd be? You'd be like, you absolute idiot. Like, can you not let me do my job without you being the person that I'm trying to fight?
And the fact that she's already had to bail him out of jail for that, like, disgusting act against the halal butchers, like, he needs to just, anyway.
I know. Nick Roberts is obviously very convincing back in his heyday. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Billy's just very vulnerable. Anyway, Lana says that Billy's screening her calls, and then DS Desai says that they need to just ring Billy. Lana needs to ring Billy and be like, Billy, I'm with Becky. Because they can see that Billy's been ringing Becky the whole time. Billy, I'm with Becky and she needs to talk to you. Which, this is very like Criminal Minds type of lure them in shit, isn't it?
Yeah.
So anyway, Lana does just that. Carl actually comes out here for a second and he's kind of like, what's going on? We were smooching. And she just legs it. She's like, sorry, I have to go.
Yeah.
So anyway, Billy's then driving around London. Once he does see the text about Becky, now he rings Lana straight away. Lana is begging Billy to tell her where he is. And he eventually says that he's meant to be picking up some friends at the Farringdon tube station, but they haven't turned up. And he's like, oh, they're laughing at me. They're having a laugh, blah, blah, blah. Instead, he actually is stuck in a protest. I think it's an anti-fascist protest. And he calls them lefty wankers.
Mm-hmm.
So he's stuck in a protest. He's waiting for his friends. They're not there. And Lana is like, oh shit, this is very, very weird. Lana then has to tell Billy that Nick Roberts is actually a terrorist and he's one of the crusaders who killed Nutt. She then asks him if anyone's been near his car or if he's noticed anything unusual or different about the car. Now, I want to cast your minds back to, I believe, was last week's episode, was it?
Yeah.
When she was like, oh, your car looks like it's been fixed.
Mm.
Like, is this all... Carl's a mechanic. He fixes cars. Did someone, you know...
Yeah.
Is this too obvious, guys?
I don't think it's too obvious because I didn't pick up on her saying that. Only you caught it.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's that obvious.
No, okay. So anyway, she's like, Nick is a terrorist. And she's like, what's going on with your car? Is there anything different? Poor Billy then spots wires underneath the foot mat. They're leading to the glove box. Billy opens it up and there's a bomb there. Poor Lana is trying to direct Billy from the tube station to a place called Cranstead Fields, which is a big park, and it's about 2 miles away. So she's like, I'll meet you there. Now, guys, I knew Billy was in danger here. I knew it was bad, but I just didn't expect what happened to happen.
No.
You knew from last week when she pointed out from Billy's apartment window that the car looked done up, that something was going to happen in that car, didn't you?
I did, yeah, which I'm actually surprised about. Anyway, Billy is beyond panicked, guys. He's like, Lana, can you please tell Mum and Dad I'm sorry? It's quite sad. There's now a buzzing noise coming from the device and an 8-minute timer starts counting down. And Billy is trying to speak to Lana and then his feckin' battery dies.
Get the stress of that.
No. A helicopter circles overhead as Lana races to meet her brother at the park. Officers arrive at the scene. They try to evacuate the public. Billy speeds onto the field and Haas tries to calm him down. And then some of the lads who are playing football walk up to the car.
They're like banging on the windows.
Oh my God. I was like, can someone tell them that there's a bomb attached to the feckin' door of the car?
That the car is now a bomb.
It's so my... I was like, I thought, Jesus Christ, right? So the officers are trying to evacuate everyone. Lana gets there. She runs to the car window. She's trying to see where the bomb through the window as well. So she's like trying to look at the glove compartment, trying to look underneath the car. Time is ticking. At this point, Billy is hyperventilating. Lana says the timer makes no sense. She's wondering how the bomber would know where Billy's going to be when the device goes off. And Haas is like, do you think it's a decoy? Anyway, now, guys, there's less than 2 minutes left on the timer. Lana seems certain that the timer is a trick. So she thinks that they've put it there so that Billy does open the door and set off the bomb. Lana begs Billy to sit still and to trust her. She actually just leaves him for a second to go get her bomb disposal equipment, which I'm not sure why someone couldn't have handed
brought
it to
over
her.
To her.
And the timer then starts making like crazy noises. It's counting down to 30 seconds. It's frantically beeping. Billy calls out for Lana. He completely loses it. He unlocks the door and he opens the door and the bomb is set off. It goes up in flames. Lana, Tom and all of the officers watch in shock, horror and disbelief. And it then fades to black. So Billy's gone. That night, Lana calls over to her distraught parents. The three of them hug each other on the couch and they all sob together. And Lana then actually later goes to see Carl at the garage and they hug and then it turns into a very passionate kiss and I assume more after that because the next morning she wakes up in his bed. She looks at her phone. Tom has rang her 4 or 5 times. She listens to Tom's voicemails and we hear him kind of being like, you know, are you okay? I'm here for you. I don't want you to be alone. Please let me know where you are. Lana then leaves Carl's and she actually goes back to the park where Billy was killed. Forensics are taking photos of the scene and Lana spots John and some very ominous music plays. And that is the end of Trigger Point episode 4.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Very good.
Nailed it, Reb.
Nailed it. I don't think it's John. It's just far too obvious. And he's like, he's almost like cartoon style sinister. Yeah, like he's almost hissing at her. Yeah.
Know,
it's like, dun, 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 every time he comes on screen. So I don't think it's him. I don't think it's Tom. But I think the most likely one is Carl.
It's such a shame because I think it's on Grace. It feels like a real connection.
I know, and that's why I don't want it to be him.
I don't want it to be Carl. I'm like, can it be Sonia? Is her name Sonia?
Yeah.
Can it be someone that we're like, oh Jesus, Danny, Sonia, one of the fellas she works with who we don't really know much about.
I don't know. It's the guy from Vigil.
Yeah.
Because they've done a dramatic look on him at the end of the last episode as well.
And the camera hovered on him when the policeman was found with his throat slit upstairs. And in the first episode as well, I just thought it was real suspicious the way he just kept his mask on over his mouth the whole time.
He's not the second crusader who slit the throat of the other guy, but is he the inside man who's involved? There's obviously a lot of crusaders. Like, it can't just be two fellas.
Yeah.
Your man Nick.
Can you guys remind me how we met Carl again? Because I remember him being in the pub in episode one, but where did he come from?
No, he was just at the drinks. So he was at the drinks at the funeral, at a Nuts funeral. And him, I think I'm right in saying that him and Lana served together in Afghanistan.
Yeah, or did they train together or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. They trained together or worked together before.
Okay.
But he left the military and obviously is now a mechanic.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's how
and
that
now
happened.
Mechanic. Okay, grand. So I was getting confused. I was like, did he leave the police force and is now a mechanic? But they know each other from the military.
He is ex-military, yeah.
Like, he knows how to make bombs.
He'd be known how to twist some wires.
He knows how to fix up some cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's fully qualified.
In both areas.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's ticking every box, but maybe that's a bit obvious as well.
Well, there's one person that the three of us haven't suspected that our first thought and theory. It's not Tom, no.
Sorry, Tom is getting another feckin' apartment with his new DCI job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The glamour.
Maybe he needs the promotion to pay the rent or the mortgage. Hannah Warman says, absolutely love the show. Look forward to listening to your hilarious tangents every week. I don't think John's dodgy. I think he suspects one of the other members of the team. That's why he comes across as a totally dodgy arsehole.
Oh, that's good. He's doing his own inside investigation.
So Hannah says, this is a wild theory, but what if it's Lana?
Ooh,
She did nothing to stop her mate going towards the van in the first episode, then got promoted far too easily after he'd been blown to bits. She failed to save the man in the mosque, didn't seem to be trying that hard to save her brother either. A lot of people did say this in the emails this week. Maybe she thought she knew the device was fake, so believed she could get him out safely. She absolutely doesn't love Tom, but keeps up the weak pretense that she does so she can keep up to speed with the investigation and feed him information to steer the police away from the actual culprits. And then Hannah says, my less wild theory is that nobody is bent. We, the viewers, have just decided somebody must be because that's what we know and love. And it's actually just a group of bad terrorists doing bad terrorist things. P.S. I'm totally with Hannah that mushrooms, onions and cheese should be avoided, but would definitely drink weasel shit coffee in the name of embracing the local culture after I had checked that the animals were happy with their working conditions, obviously.
Yes. It's a Hannah thing. Yes.
It is a Hannah thing.
Love it.
We
would eat a gorgeous meal together, I feel, and be difficult orders, but like appreciate each other.
What do we think of Hannah's wild theory that it could be Lana?
I think that's... like, wow, I hadn't thought of things like that.
Yeah.
However, I do believe Lana was trying to save Billy. Because the reason why Billy was blown up was because he opened the car door. Lana told him not to.
Yeah, but she did walk away from the car to go over chatting to the lads. Like, she didn't even just run and grab her helmet and come back. Like, she was standing over having a chin wag.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no, this is very interesting.
A lot of people aren't happy that she went off and had a special time with Carl straight after her brother died. Yes. Now, that didn't bother me, but there was a backlash about that now on social
You do
media.
See this in like TV and film, though, sometimes when people get like really like stressful or traumatic news that they just end up in an embrace.
They were going to ride anyway.
Yeah,
just you know,
some people, their emotions were
like,
really
maybe
high.
She wanted to get out of her head and she was like, fuck my whole life, I'm just going to go and do this mad thing with Carl.
Yeah, and they kissed earlier, so it wasn't like completely out of the blue.
Yeah. Natasha messaged us on shrinepodcast.com. She said, thought I'd send a message on this as you all repaid the subscription. Let you get your money's worth. Really enjoyed last week's episode, but wasn't too sure about episode 4. I thought the part with the brother was really well done, but I think a lot of other things haven't been referred to again or ignored. The firearms officer who got killed in the flats, nobody seemed bothered about that or barely mentioned it. Also, Danny's character is a little underused. Anyway, enjoying the series and your podcast as well. Keep up the good work. So yeah, they haven't really referenced the slitting of the throat again since, yeah.
We did see Danny a lot now, we haven't seen him really. In this episode, he just pulled Lana away from John, that was it.
Yeah, Pete says, I want to know what the Prius's tyres were made of. The whole car burned to fuck, but the tyres were unharmed. Dave Busby says, that Carl is behind it all, a bent mechanic. Mm. Richard Orr says, it definitely feels like Tom is hiding something, especially how he randomly ends up following Lana and stopping her. Yeah, like following the person who was following the person.
And she's always like, do you have any update about HMX 319? Yeah. And he's like, yeah, they're working
Can't
on that.
Tell you
and
anything.
He won't give her the update on it. So that's a bit suspicious.
Catherine Belcher says, great episode. I have a couple of theories. What if the sniper police guy actually shot the car to trigger the bomb and that Billy didn't open the door? But we didn't, I don't think there was a gunshot, which is the guy with the mask. From Vigil.
Yeah. Cal is his name in real life. What's his name in this? Robbins. Robbins, I think.
Not sure.
Yeah.
Don says, first of all, love the podcast. Make my Wednesday into work much more fun. Still think Lana has the wrong guy in mind as the Bent Expo. I had a closer look at the sniper from the last episode. It's not the same guy as John. I think the sniper might have been Haas or the guy that offered Lana a brew before she went to New Scotland Yard. Yeah.
Your man who was like, oh, John was on, had a tummy bug. I don't know his name.
Yeah.
What's his name? Because he's just been hiding in plain sight, but we've never, we need to find out more about him.
But Don says, the A to Z map has thrown me, though. I'd also be interested to see if they recover any of the bomb from the wreckage. The timer reset was very unexpected. Yeah, it counted down, went blank, came back on, and then had 30 seconds. It was a bit strange.
Do you think that's why Lana thought that it was just a fake, to panic him so he'd open the door?
He's like maybe remotely triggered by a Bent Expo. Kirsty H says Ginger John is not a baddie, clearly being set up to look that way. I suspect Carl, even though I'm quite taken with him. Episode 4 clearly the best so far. A lot of people in the thoughts and theories this week very taken by Carl.
Can someone not just be good? Someone just be good?
Well, we're the ones making them all out to be bad. Tracy Thompson says, could someone be getting at Lana, best friend killed and now her brother? Perhaps it isn't about a big picture but about Lana specifically. When the mechanic took Lana home the night of the funeral, we never saw what happened.
No,
perhaps he was with Lana's brother at the butcher's and not the A to Z guy. Vicky's characters don't always make good decisions in bereavement, do they? Brilliant episode, love the podcast. Claire agrees with that. The bombing campaign is targeted around Washington. They are taking away people she loves because of something she did in the army or failed to do, i.e. their family died and now they're going to take away hers. Jewel says, what a twist getting rid of Billy.
Yeah, I think it's way more than a coincidence. Sorry, Brendan, I just totally agree with that point because everyone around her is dying.
Yeah.
It's definitely personal to Lana, which makes me think it's not her that's doing it, but she's done something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know whether it's related to the war, but she's done something to someone and now this is like revenge against her.
Yeah. I would have loved a few flashbacks between her and Nut in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
I do feel like that's missing in this series.
We might get them, yes.
No, he said that.
Oh,
remember, he said there was going to be no more flashbacks relating to what he filmed.
But he was in and out.
Yeah, only one episode. He said he was busy
doing a Martin Compton on it. Jewel says, "What a twist! Getting rid of Billy, is the plot now personal to Lana? Everyone close to her seems to be coming a cropper. Why on earth did she leave her brother alone in the car and didn't get someone to come to her?" Jill says the show's definitely improving. Phil King says, fellas, I've completely given up with the show now. Great cast, but feels like a GCSE drama project in terms of acting and plot. I'm just here for the water tank and coffee advice going forward. Keep up the great work. Well, thanks, Phil King. I don't, it's not remotely like a GCSE drama project. I mean, that might have been applicable to that absolute racket in season one of Line of Duty. Do you remember the one with the really intense techno?
The man who got to bed a dorm.
There's been some dodgy shots, but episode 4 was good now, and I'm with that person. It's definitely improving. That's like feedback I'd get on my journal in school, like improving, but like not.
Yeah.
Her full potential. That's always the shit they used to tell me in school.
I think it was full attention this week, and also really emotional, like really emotional.
Yeah.
And finally, we'll have the final thought this week from MonkeyThumbs68, who says, and I agree.
This person, they're very observant.
What a waste of a caramel bar. Rest in pieces. There was a Tunnocks caramel bar in the car when Billy lifted up the mat to look for the wire.
Oh, yeah.
Or was it when he opened the glove box?
Yeah.
It's one of my favourite snacks. There's a really good chew in it. It was a Tunnocks caramel bar, and that obviously blew up along with Billy when Billy went bang.
Poor Billy. Oh, Jesus Christ. What was he? Nick Roberts was a dodgy character.
Yeah. So those are the
sweet
sausages.
Can I just ask about a Tunnocks? That's like a wafer, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's wafer and caramel, like really chewy caramel covered in chocolate. It's in that like gold and red foil wrapper. They are delicious.
Mm.
Really,
you'd
really
mail one of them with a cup of tea now, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Jeez. The perfect accompaniment to a cup of tea.
With my weasel coffee.
Oh, no, not for me.
I'm never having the weasel coffee, no.
So, guys, another quiet and quiet week from Jed. He hasn't been saying much. He did, however, retweet some stats from our friends at the ITV Press Centre, which bigged up the show. I'm just getting them up here for you now. One moment, please. He had
Please
some
hold.
Gorgeous information about how well it was performing. I'm just going to kill the time until I can find the tweet because I X-outed the tab. Just one moment.
I think this
can't find it. So
I think
brilliant.
The stats have been good. Oh, they're good. Millions of people have watched.
So Trigger Point is ITV's highest rated drama in the past 12 months.
Oh.
Now, only 12 months. But with nearly 10 million viewers watching the launch episode, and that was released last week. So that's good.
What was the one last year? Was Marcella last year or was that the year before?
Guys, I still
have you watched season 3
no,
yet?
No, I still haven't seen the third season of Marcella.
It is chaotic and I know you'd love it. Like, it's chaotic is the only
word. Isn't it like a completely different show?
It's not related to seasons 1 and 2 at all. Like, at all.
It's completely different.
She basically plays a different character. Like, it is wild.
I need to watch it. I will. I'll get around to it at some point.
Surely it's on Netflix.
You will
at this
cry
stage.
Laughing, Rebecca. They just wrote off like anyone that had anything to do with the first two seasons, including Marcella's entire family, her look.
Marcella's.
She's undercover in Belfast, isn't she?
For the character. Like anything.
She's not even called Marcella for most of it, is she? She's a different name. And then there's that one scene.
She's undercover.
Then there's that one scene with your man, Hannah, where both of us nearly fell off the sofa.
I nearly fucking died.
Couldn't believe
it. I want Rebecca to see that. I text friend and I was like, did you not? I actually nearly fell off the bed watching that. I just wasn't expecting it.
Oh my God, I have to give it a watch now. Did you see that they're doing a second season of Bloodlands?
Yes.
Maybe Jed Mercurio tweeted that this week because didn't he write that? Or did he have something to do with it? He produces it.
He was producing it. Or something. The man is flat out.
He is. Yeah.
Here, I have the what's coming up on episode 5. 4 paragraphs now, guys.
Excuse me. Oh, I'm all ears.
Get comfy.
Oh, my God. Someone's obviously put it back to the way it was in
they
ITV.
Okay, they threw caution to the wind.
They found a happy medium.
Lana struggles to come to terms with her personal loss and her failure to prevent the explosion. Supported by a clinical psychologist, now I am glad that that's happening, she begins to explore her grief and begs Hamilton to allow her to resume her professional duty. So finally, it sounds like someone has said, this woman needs to go on stress.
Well, also, but she had been... Do you remember Hamilton had told her that she needed to take some time off because she like jumped on John? So maybe she just hadn't been allowed back because of that. They actually don't really care for her mental health at all.
Guys, Lana should not have been trying to defuse the bomb in a car that her brother was in. Like,
no.
She should not have been. Yes, maybe ring him and tell him to get there, but someone else should have been doing that. Like, she should not have been at that scene.
She still shouldn't be back at work after died in front of her eyes.
Like, I'm not being bad, guys. Like, first of all, everyone around here is blown up. Second of all, I know that like this is probably budgetary issues, but it is a bit mental that there is one, her and Danny, Tom and like a handful of other people, the guy from Vigil, they're the only people that are showing up to these bombs that are all over different parts, like London or England or whatever town it's set in. It is a bit ridiculous, isn't it, that she'd have even been there when her brother was going to blow up and stuff. It's just a bit much. But anyway, Carl pushes for a deeper relationship with Lana so that he can better help and support her. Mm. But she is confused about her feelings for Thom and unable to make decisions about her personal life at a time of such intense crisis. I mean, completely fucking fair enough.
She doesn't like Thom, though. Like, she does not.
She doesn't like Thom, but like, she doesn't want a deeper relationship with Carl. Like, her brother just literally was blowing up.
I know, but like, she clearly does not like Thom. I don't know why. I'm like, what is the crack here?
Every time you say Thom with the H being heard, it reminds me of this story. This is completely irrelevant, but a friend of mine who I will not name, right, was once,
can I guess after,
yeah, was once with a guy called Thom with a H, and my friend brought Thom home, and little Thom wasn't able to perform, so Thom used Thom used his thumb and pretend,
no.
Yes.
I have to leave. I can't. What did this podcaster do to? Oh my God.
Thom used his thumb and
put an explicit warning.
Thom used his thumb and like didn't reference it, and my friend was like, that's clearly your thumb. So ever since, we've referred to him as Thom Thumb.
I am going to die.
He was also Thom with a H.
But are we going to cut this out? Are we actually leaving this
I didn't name anyone except for Thom Thumb.
Is his name Thom, though, in real life? Yeah. Like, poor Thom is going to hear this podcast, maybe.
We're going to have to beep it out.
Anyway.
Well, it was a little Thom indeed. Moving on, counter-terrorism officers identify the bomber and
They identify the bomber.
Why are they giving us this information, guys? Sorry, it's absolutely
someone
at wild.
ITV has definitely handed in their notice period, and they're just like, "Fuck it."
Sorry, I actually can't breathe.
I was in Dunn's during the week, right, doing the weekly shop, and you know that section. Sorry, I was in a supermarket. Actually,
I'm a massive fan of Dunn's.
And you know that section where they put the stickers on the food to discount
the yellow stickers,
when the
yeah.
expiry date is coming up, right?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, look, there's a few packets of ham. CISO loves ham. I was like, I'll grab those. They'll be a nice treat. But this is like a couple of days ago, and the ham wasn't expiring until like the end of February. So I was like, someone is after handing in their notice, and they were like, fuck this supermarket and just put yellow stickers on everything. And I feel like that same energy I'm getting off these descriptions. So counter-terrorism officers identify the bomber and launch a massive manhunt. Lana briefs her team on the suspect, so presumably isn't Lana.
Sorry, I just turned on 1 second. I said, hey, this podcast has gone from like, oh yeah, like by the show, to like some mad stuff.
Like, guys, I honestly,
discounted
I'm breathing past it because I want to be dead. I can't believe I heard that story.
I can't breathe, like in 5 minutes. Discounted ham. I actually am crying. Like, there's tears. Oh my good God. No, we've gone too far.
I can imagine how thrilled you were as well when you found out the ham actually had a lot of there was a lot of time left on it.
I would have thought it would gone furry or something.
It's ham. The fridge is full of ham, guys.
So they identified the bomber.
So next week's episode, they identified the bomber and did you say a manhunt?
Well, I said, we identified the bomber and it isn't Carl Thom or Lana, because Lana is briefing her team on the suspect and the methods and techniques he used in planting the devices.
Oh.
She is determined not to lose anyone else. Well, I'd fucking hope so. There'd be no one left. The expo team are called out to a device targeting a radio station, guys.
Oh,
very close to
Jesus.
Home. Covering the upcoming election, causing counter-terrorism officers to expect a connection between the Progressive Alliance and the bombing campaign. The threat intensifies when the team are alerted to a possible device. Oh, here's the answer to the question. At Alliance HQ. Oh no, Alliance, never mind. I thought that was the name of the bomb place. Okay, so we had the fucking Crusaders, we've had the English flag, and now the Progressive Alliance.
Okay, that's episode 5, which is the second last episode of the season.
Yeah, and like usually if, you know, if they're going to follow the natural layout of a drama, this will be the pinnacle big drama build up before we teeter off in episode 6. So this will be the big one.
Well, the bomber is identified, so yeah.
In the second paragraph. And we've got two, like a device in a radio station and a possible device at Alliance HQ. So two bombs and the bomber identified and a manhunt and a targeted radio station.
Well, I'm looking forward to episode 5.
So am I. I'm just not recovered from episode 4 of our podcast. Jesus.
No, I don't know if we can, like, if we had a lawyer, like, or like, I feel like we should run it past them, but we don't.
No one's identifiable. It's absolutely fine.
It's not defamation if it's true.
They're going to sue us for the Patreon money, guys.
I'm crying.
I'm going to have to hand over the rights to the website.
How will people email us?
Yeah, no, people have to get in touch. And I'm actually really, like, we're really grateful to people who've actually gone over to the website and emailed us via the website because, you know, it's a lot of effort.
It's not a chore. It's a stunning website where you go and read articles that we've written with our own hands and look at a stunning layout.
No, it's lovely, but it's very nice of people to go via the website especially. Do you know?
No, it is. It is very good. And we've gotten lots of special messages from the website. So, guys, any last thoughts, theories, notions, tidbits, horrifying stories about people whose friends have slept with other people?
No, I just, to bring it back to the show, I think it's going to be Carl.
Okay, I think it is the man from Vigil, Cal McAnich, and we think his name might be Robin.
Oh yeah. You know, I think it's pointing to be Carl, but that's, I think it could be your man from Vigil.
Imagine if it was John and they were just like, fuck it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, imagine. Do you know what I mean? Or is it like Bregman or someone? Is it someone higher up who's pulling the strings and who's bent, you know, at the top?
Well, I mean,
a high-ranking officer with long, long-running links to organised crime. You know, maybe it's someone like that. I don't know. I like at this stage, I don't know who else they can kill off unless it's Lana herself.
Yeah, surely right, nobody else gets killed off now. We just find out who the bomber is and then there's a court appearance in the final episode or something.
Really looking forward to next week's episode. Thought this week's episode was great. Felt very bad for Billy and poor Billy.
Yeah, that's a nice place to leave it. I enjoyed episode 4 thoroughly. I am looking forward to episode 5. Don't know what episode 6 is going to be. You know, I don't know what there's going to be left to do. We might get a bit of a court case. We'll have to wait and see. But that is it, pets. As always, this episode will go up early for Patreon subscribers. It will go up right after we record it. It's Tuesday afternoon. And you can become a subscriber at patreon.com/shrinepod for €4 a month. You can send your thoughts and theories into us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at shrinepod. Or you can head over to our absolutely beautiful website, shrinepodcast.com, where you can read stunning articles, you can browse 5 pages, you can see what our most latest Instagram posts and podcasts are, and via a very special form, you can submit your thoughts and theories. That is it. We will be back next Wednesday to talk all about who the bomber is, guys. I'm excited.
For the big reveal.
For the big reveal. Have a gorgeous week, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.